And yes, for every government to properly budget for its citizens, it must have an estimation of the people to be surveyed. And this information is only made available through a census. Now, South Sudan's last population and housing census undertaken was held in 2008, even before the independence. Today, as an independent nation, the population distribution dynamics of South Sudan have substantially changed. Impacted by the internal and external displacement, particularly during the periods of outbreak of conflict in 2013 and 2016.
And with the implementation of the revitalized peace agreement, IDPs and refugees are returning to their communities, providing another dimension to the country's population profile. South Sudan is preparing to have its first population estimation survey, which will be essential for planning towards the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals. And to help us understand this process, we have in the studio the United Nations Population Fund's Wellington Mbithi.
Good morning, Mr. Wellington, and it's good to have you on the Mirai Breakfast Show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yes, let's begin with the Population Estimation Survey itself. What is the Population Estimation Survey and how different is it from census?
Thank you for that question. Yeah, I must say that I'm honored to be part of this team this morning to talk about the ongoing Population Estimation Survey. Population Estimation Survey is also called a hybrid census or even micro-census in the manner that it's not a fully-fledged census, but a replica of the census, but with the name of giving us the required population data for planning and also use in the Republic of South Sudan. Now, the micro-census, or rather PES, Population Estimation Survey, uses a method whereby we sample areas which are going to be enumerated by the enumerators who are already being trained. Mm. The country has been divided into 10 states and 3 administrative areas. Therefore, we are not able to reach all those areas, just like in census. However, we'll be able to sample random sample some areas within the states and also administrative areas, which will give us information which can be replicated or rather modeled into the rest of the unsampled areas. Mm-hmm. Therefore, now we have 1,506 sample sites all over the country, touching every state, every county, and also some specific PIAMs. This data will be enough to avail information required to give the census. So after we get the numbers, the areas will be reached by the enumerators who will ask questions to the household members within the sampled areas. Mm-hmm.
And how close can a population estimated survey results be to an actual census?
Yes. This census is not a replacement of the census. Census is the de facto method of getting the real numbers of the country, because they reach everybody from east to west, from north to south. However, because of time that has passed and you have not been able to census, this would be a method of assisting government to have numbers for planning and also to ensure that we have a working figure. Mm-hmm. And they will be used to plan for the oncoming census, which will be the time that the government will announce, maybe 2022, 2023, around there, we don't know, but we wait for the government to give us direction. Okay. So it will be used as a planning activity and also for planning for better census to come.
Okay. Do you think the country is actually ready for this?
For the PS?
Yes, exactly.
Yes. I can say the country is ready because, one, we have... it is a government activity, actually. It's a government activity led by NBS and also the government. Remember, I talked last time, the launch for the PS was spearheaded by the government through the Vice President, Dr. James Wani, who opened the launch for the PS. And we have been working very closely with the government, both the ministries and also led by NBS. Trainings have been done all through for several teams so that they're able to give the required support. So the country is ready for it. The Minister of Interior and Defense Security, they are aware and they have given full support even to the currently ongoing training in the stations.
All right.
Yes.
And just to clarify or to enlighten, NBS is a National Bureau of Statistics, if I'm right.
Yes, please.
Yes. So give us a breakdown of the whole process, beginning with what you have lined up for tomorrow.
So, tomorrow is 18th of May 2021. Mm-hmm. It's the start of the PS data collection. It can be on 18, it can be on 19, but it is a week, it's a period between 18th all the way to that of June. That is the time that we are expected to do the data collection. So what is expected is that because we have already trained enough enumerators in the 10 states, it has just ended and some of them are finalizing right now. We have trained about 525 enumerators and one that supervises. So these teams will be in charge of data collection in the states and the sampled areas. So their role would be to visit the country management, that is the county commissioner and also the PIAM administrator, the field guides, who would guide them to the sampled areas for data collection. After that, they'll meet the household heads, whereby they'll be able to do the mapping for the sampled area. What I mean by mapping is to like map the area that's supposed to be the sample site by enumerating all the houses within that area first. Then from there, now they'd come back to administer the questionnaire. Mm-hmm. So after they do that, now they come to administer the questionnaire, which has several questions to be asked, running from the demographic questions, education, migration, disability, agriculture and livelihoods, ICT, livestock, and even mortality. So those are the questions which will be administered, and our request is to maybe to the citizens to cooperate in that area and also ensure that they give the truth information which will be able to guide us to make decisions.
Yeah, you're saying you're requesting citizens to participate. Have you done some sensitization among the locals? And what is your expectation of these citizens as the exercise will be kicking off tomorrow?
Yeah, over the last couple of days since the launch of the PS, there has been a lot of advocacy. We have NBS behind the advocacy team, which has reached every corner of the Republic to the state. It has reached the state governors with the ministers, and also the security team who are based in the states. All of them have been reached. We have very good, very nice photos of very willing citizens who are ready to receive the PS. Mm-hmm. And also, it's continuing. It's an ongoing process. We also have the advocacy going state to the community, the county, and all that. We also have a lot of advocacy through the radios. We have so many community radios and also local radios, which have been very instrumental in giving us information and also reaching the community in the areas of concern. So this is ongoing, and most of the people are aware of the PS. Yeah.
All right. So what is expected of the citizens? What will they be doing? Tell us, what is required of citizens as the exercise kicks up?
I thought the citizens are very much excited. That's one thing. And this is evidence from the just concluded pilot that was done yesterday and the day before yesterday, just to test the instruments of data collection, the survey tool, to test the transmission of data to the servers and all that. So I just saw from one of the WhatsApp chats that we have, mm-hmm, that most of the citizens, you see now when you're doing sampling, you might have a border between you and your neighbor. And your neighbor is enumerated, but you are not enumerated. So someone was asking, why are we being left out? Because my neighbor's been enumerated and not me. So those are some of the expectations, and it shows that the citizens are really yearning for this new data and also willing to take part in the nation building through support to the government through the right information. So what we would request for them to do is that not everybody will be enumerated, but only the sampled areas which are within the boundaries of the sample site. Therefore, what if you have opened for within the sample site, then we request for your cooperation in terms of providing conducive space for discussion, or rather for interviewing, and also providing the right question to the best of your knowledge, ensuring that don't fear these enumerators, these are our sons, they are brothers, they are sisters, and they are of the good of the nation, to ensure that the government has the right information. And also, yeah, these are their brothers, so let's accord them respect, say, cooperation, and also guide them where they might go wrong, because some of the boundaries might be between an area that is not clearly identifiable. Therefore, through the use of the field guides, I'm sure they'll be able to help them to get the right boundaries and do the right enumeration.
Let me talk in terms of security. How will your enumerators be identifiable as far as, and I mean, if the citizens will be talking to these people, probably engaging with them, so shall tell, is there something that will be, do they have IDs, or how will they introduce themselves?
That's a very good question, because at this time, security is paramount for everyone, and we also need, just as the citizens need to be secure, also the enumerators. Now, these staffs, or rather enumerators and supervisors, they have very visible uniform. They have very visible T-shirts and the caps, which have a population estimate survey and maybe the information in the front about accurate data reporting. These ones also have a letter to show that they've been appointed to be part of the enumeration team. So that it is available from whoever might need to know where they are that team. Then they also have tablets to ensure that they do, although everybody can have a tablet anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the issue is that they have an identification letter, they have a badge, they have a uniform to mm-hmm. ensure that they are together. And they are moving as a group. It's not like an individual.
All right. Yeah. Right. Now, how will you consider those citizens who have relocated beyond the borders of South Sudan but are in traceable locations like refugee camps?
The good thing is that the number of refugees are well known by the concerned ministry and also the partners who are working very closely in that area. So those numbers are identifiable, just as the ones for the internally displaced people, the IDPs, those numbers are clearly identifiable. So if any citizen is out of the country, out of the border of South Sudan, and also out of the Sambod area, that person will not be enumerated, because we want to stick to the Sambod areas.
All right.
Yes.
We know that UNFPA has really invested heavily in this. Could you tell us just how much support you have put into this exercise?
Thank you. I think for this activity, let me start the government of South Sudan. It has also really invested in this activity because, number one, it has provided technical support from NBS team, who are well-trained and also willing to undertake the activity through very many difficulties. Currently, you know, it's raining, it's wet. They are devoted to go a step next to ensure that they get the data. Mm-hmm. The government has also provided space to ensure that everybody has been reached for the PES and also the information. It has also invested in security. All the security apparatus from the airport to the state to the state teams, they are aware of the PES, and they have been very cooperating, even granting the enumerators and the supervisors extra time, even giving the security during trainings that were ongoing. So that's a very huge commitment from the government. And also the space. Now, coming to the partners who are supporting PES, we have several partners supporting, ranging from the UN team members, UNFPA, we have the Irish Aid, we have the World Food Programme, UNICEF, IOM, and also other donors like UNDP. All those have come together to support, most in-kind donation and also financial support. Mm-hmm. UNICEF has also come in strongly to support the PES strongly in terms of technical support, both headquarter, East Africa Regional Office, and also the South Sudan Office. We also have other external partners who are supporting technically. That is the GRID team, that is Geo-Reference Infrastructure and Development, Data for Development, which is a consortium of UNFPA. We also have Universal South of Colombia and also Southampton. So those have come in really to provide the technology required to ensure that we get the data. So those are some of the supports that we have. However, in terms of financial support, you remember this: the survey was having a budget of around $3 million USD, which we have been looking for.
Yeah.
And UNFP itself has committed to more than 1 million, actually around 1.3 million USD. That's the support they have given in addition to the technical support. And we have these other partners who have really came in very strongly. We have the Irish Aid, which contributed to $300,000. We also have support from the government of Sweden, who have contributed to $300,000. FAO has already supported with $130,000, in addition to many others. So you can see all this is huge support. We also have the Kenyan government, which through NBS. NBS was able to reach the Kenyan government and support them with 600 tablets, which are still on the way, but we are hoping they'd arrive by the time we are doing the survey, although we still have enough gadgets to do the work. So that's a support from the government of Kenya and many, many others who have been really involved in this kind of work.
Great.
Yes.
Now, after all these, when do we expect to know the results?
Yes, I know that's a very positive question, and people are really looking forward to the product. Mm-hmm. And the product is a report. So after we do the data collection, we'll go ahead on to start data analysis. Or rather, before we do that, we need to do data cleaning to ensure that all the data we have has been validated. It reflects what is similar to ground. Then from there, we shall start the analysis. Within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll be done with the analysis. The first report, preliminary report, is expected by the end of June, early July, around there. That's what we expect. Then from there, we shall have other reports, which are called the analytical reports, which will be an integration between the data coming from the survey to other ministries, like education. It has a very huge model there on education. We also have Minister of Health, Minister of Labour, Minister of Lands and Settlements and all that. So we shall have other small reports which are touching on the areas of interest, so that they can also help the ministries use the data for decision-making.
Great.
Okay, so after the preliminary report, when do you expect the final report?
Now, the final report will be like a month after that.
So that will be July?
Around July,
okay.
Yes.
And then what happens after that? What is the next stage? What should people expect from these findings?
Yeah, the findings will be, after we have done the reporting now, we need to disseminate to the lowest level. That is the BOMA, the PIAM. They need to receive the report and also understand and digest. So the government will take the lead in disseminating the information from the national government to the state government, to the county government, and all that. So everybody knows the results of the data. I think this is a huge undertaking, because by the magnitude of the data we are collecting, we are reaching over between 60,000 and 90,000 households within 2 weeks. That's the households we are reaching. So it's a huge amount of data which cannot be underestimated. That is next to demographic survey, which usually reaches around 60,000. So this is huge data which will have impact to the people in the community and also the government planning.
All right. Mr. Wellington, thank you so much for coming to Mirai Studios. We wish you all the best in this survey.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're listening to the Mirai Breakfast Show, and that our guest is Mr. Wellington Mbiti, who is from the United Nations Population Fund.